out this morning. It's always a great encouragement to be able to come out and be with our brother and sister in Christ and study God's Word and just simply be uplifted as we sing and teach and admonish one another. Of course, when we have a full attendance as we gather together, it's always louder, I guess you might say, but it's just sounds good. It's just always good to have a full crowd. And we welcome out our visitors that are with us. Of course, David had made mention that most of everybody knows you all, but I'm new here, so I've seen a few of you once already or once or twice, and others I have a first-time meeting you. So it's good to meet you. Hope to see you again and get to know you a little better as time goes on. But we're certainly happy to have you here this morning. We encourage that you open up your Bibles and you follow along as we go throughout the lesson. This morning, we want to encourage always to open up and study the Word of God. And if there's anything that is said that you would question, that you are willing to come to ask those things, we'd be happy to answer them. If there's anything that is said that is not lined up with the Word of God, that you'd be my friends, bring that to my attention so that I can correct those things and make sure that I'm teaching the truth. Of course, making sure that I am on the right path also to be with our Word of God in heaven. The only way we know how to get to heaven, of course, is through the Bible. Is through His Word, which He has given us. Last Sunday night, we went through and talked about what is the Bible. And we went forth and brought out the point, of course, that it is our guidance, it is our map to get to heaven. It is the instruction manual that tells us how to get there. It is God's Word. I think that's where some people get a little thought on that maybe we can't understand the Word of God is the fact that it is His Word. We read there in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Or some translations may read, all Scripture is God-breathed. It is His breath, it is His Word that is given to us. We study throughout the Word of God that there in Peter, in 2 Peter, they say that these things are no private interpretation, but these men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So some get caught up in saying that we can't understand the Bible, that we can't understand what God is saying. Only few that have been ordained, and few that have special ability to understand the Word of God. So I want to go through this morning and ask the question, can we understand the Bible? And I want you to open up your Bibles to see that you can. See this, that we can understand the Word of God. Because in all things that we teach about whether or not we should do certain things, whether or not it is the birth of Christ and celebrate it at Christmas, whether or not we should be allowed to lie, or when one is allowed to divorce, who's allowed to get married. In all questions, we have to be able to understand the Bible to answer those things, on whether or not God wants us to do those things. Because we continue there in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, it says that all things are profitable. It wouldn't be profitable if we couldn't understand. It would do us no profit, it would do us no gain to have the Bible and not be able to open it up and study it and read it for ourselves and search it. Be able to understand what His Word is. It couldn't correct. It couldn't, instruct. It couldn't teach. It couldn't understand. What good would it be if we couldn't? In fact, we are commanded to understand the Word of God. In Ephesians 5, in verse 17, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 17. It says there, and it says, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. 5 verse 17. Wrong verse. In verse 17, I'm reading verse 18. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Too often I return to these to speak and teach and admonish one another in the very next verse. But here it's telling us, it says, don't be unwise, but understand. Understand will of God. Here's telling us that we are to understand, commanding us to understand. Once again, just off the first point of my mind, is that we have to understand the Word of God because we're commanded to understand the will of God. So if you open your Bibles and turn along, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 is going to start us off with my first point of why we can understand, how I know we can understand. Because in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, when Jesus spoke to his apostles, to the disciples that were there before he went up into heaven, he commanded them there, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." He said, go forth and make disciples of all nations. And so therefore we're commanded to. We're commanded to teach all people. It's not for a certain special people, but make it known to everybody. You study these other scriptures. You study 2 Peter 3 in verse 9. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but as some count slackness, is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He desires everybody to repent of their sins, to turn to him. The word of God is for all. Once again, there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 1 Timothy 2, and verse 3 and 4. Here, making it clear once again, it's for all. It says, "For this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Therefore, God's made it open for everybody. God has let it be known to everybody to understand his word, so that we can all be saved, that we can all repent of our sins, so we can all turn to him and have our sins forgiven. We need to realize that we can study the Bible. We can open up and study it and search it. And if we search it with truth in our heart, with desire of knowing the truth, with a true heart, we can understand what God desires us. Back when Jesus lived his life upon this earth, when he taught the word of God, we know that he taught to the common people. He didn't just go forward to the high and mighty, to the wisest of all. But in Mark chapter 12 and verse 37, Mark chapter 12, and you read there in verse 37, here he's speaking about David and of course prophesying about the coming of our Lord and Savior. And what he speaks here, he makes mention that there are some things that are harder to understand, but we can understand them. It says there in Mark 12, verse 37, it says, "Well, therefore David said, David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly." So here he says, he spoke to the common people. He spoke to everyday people. You and I. At least I consider myself a regular person. You might put yourself up high. No, he spoke to just regular people. And of course, we know when he was put on trial that he wasn't willing to hold, he didn't hold back there. He was willing to speak to the governor. He was willing to speak to all. But he was open to speaking to everybody, to teaching everybody. Just as when Paul was sent forth and he went and taught, he didn't hold back from any either. He was willing to teach to everyone he could reach. And once he was in prison, he would teach to everyone he could reach there. That included kings. The Word of God is for all. The Word of God is there so that everybody can understand, so that all can be taught. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, we can look at those who were teaching the Word of God, those who were going forth and spreading the Word. Of course, we know that they were inspired by the Holy Spirit as they went and taught, but the fact that the Lord didn't just go forth and choose the wisest and those who studied so much, and I'm not saying that we don't need to go to college, you don't need to go do these certain things, but we can understand the Word of God. Everybody has the right to understand the Word of God. In Acts 4 and verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus." Here brings that once again, that these were trained men. You know, when Jesus went forth and chose the apostles, that God had chosen for them and selected them. You know, we had fishermen, we had tax collectors. We did have some who were noble and some who did study, but not everybody. You look at the Word of God, we see what they were doing. They were just regular people once again. But what made their Word truth? Fact that they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. But even then, Spirit. We referred to this earlier in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. It says, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. They say it right there. It's not secretly coded just for those who have the secret codes and passwords to get through it. But it's written there for everybody to understand. It says the prophecy never came by the will of men. It wasn't there so that we could just reach out to the most rich. God had His intentions to reach out to all. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God was brought to us by God. He did it through just common people. We've been studying the prophets. And I'm trying to remember which one it was. I want to say this. Amos? You get them all mixed up as I put up the questions. But, you know, he was out there just, you know, taking care of the herd. He was with the shepherds. He was just another shepherd out there, and God chose him to go forth and prophesy. We understand that we can understand the Word of God if we desire to know. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, as he ends the book here, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to learn from our stuff. If we can't understand the Word of God, how are we supposed to grow in His knowledge? How is that supposed to happen? Today, the world will teach and people are out there saying, well, you just have to take man's word for it. And if we don't check, then we will be led astray. Because men make mistakes. I can make a mistake. We need to search His Word. There are things that we can understand, and as we continue to grow in our faith, the more we'll understand. There in Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, start in verse 12. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Here it says we should grow. Once again, referring to what Peter said. You know, we should grow in the knowledge of God. They ought to be teachers by now, but need to be taught again. They need to continue to study. They should have grown from the milk to the solid food, but they haven't. Verse 13 says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So there's things that can be taught to those who have never studied the Bible that they can understand. And as they start to understand those things and they plug it together and it starts to make sense, you grow from that. And you start to study a little bit harder things and then a little bit harder. And then you come to understand the Word of God. In chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principle. Elementary teaching. Now, I understand elementary has changed completely from when I went to school. That here soon I'll be questioning everything that my son's studying and trying to figure out what he's going through. But there's things that they teach to the young ones that they can understand. They don't go forth and throw a kindergarten and a first grader straight into calculus and straight into algebra. I'm sure it's in elementary now, but they don't do that. They first start teaching them adding, subtracting. They teach them the alphabet before they teach them how to spell. They teach them certain things. This is the same thing as the Word of God. There's certain things that is hard to understand. But if we're willing to study, we're willing to open up the Bible, we can grow from those things. So if we can understand the Word of God, the question comes out is, why is it that some do not understand? Why is it that there are those who do not understand what the Word of God has to say? You're in Hebrews, still in Hebrews 5, and we go up a verse than what we started at in verse 11. Hebrews 5 and verse 11 says, of whom we have much to say
and hard to explain since you become dull of hearing. You know, they simply stop listening. They're dull of hearing. They don't want to hear no more. What is it that we've been studying in the prophets? And once again, in the last one that we studied, they go and tell him, hey, don't prophesy here no more. Go back to where you came from and prophesy over there. But we don't want to hear it. They become dull of hearing. They're not listening to what is being said. We have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing to open up our hearts and see what it is God is teaching. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 16, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, again, we've been looking at 2 Peter quite a bit this morning, and there's, I believe, another one or two verses left in here that we're going to look at. A lot about it, about learning and understanding the Word of God. So 2 Peter 3 and in verse 16, here, bring it out. And of course, it's speaking about, we read in verse 9 how he's long suffering, how he desires all to be saved. And then verses 10 through 12, 13, it's talking about the end of time, talking about the destruction of the world, what people we ought to be. And then it refers back again to his long suffering and our salvation. So in verse 16, it says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable twist through their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. He says, when we talk about the end of time, and you look at the world today, they've done it many times. There's countless number of times that men have tried to prophesy the end of time. And they try to work it into their advantage, and they try to work it into these certain things, and they try and try again. And when that doesn't work out, they throw out a new date. And many other scriptures do they alter. Because one, they may be untaught. So when they just read one certain verse and they don't study anything else, they just go with what that one verse says. That's why we have to study the rest of the scriptures. We have to be willing to open it up and study it, put it into context, put it in and see what it says in the other books and other chapters and verses, and see what the Word of God says as a whole. Make sure we plug it in together so that we truly understand the Word of God. But we have to be willing to be taught. We have to be willing to learn. We have to be willing to open up the Bible and study to see what it says. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. Romans chapter 2. And you read there in verse 5, it says, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Understand? This makes perfect sense when you think about the Pharaoh and Moses. When Moses came to the Pharaoh and told him to let God's children to go and make sacrifice, to go have a feast in his name. The Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And the Lord showed him by turning Moses' staff into a serpent and the serpent swallowing the wisest man's head. By Moses turning the water into blood. By God sending forth the frog, the flies, the locusts, the hail, the darkness, and the death of the firstborn, the death of the calf. I mean, everything that took place. And yet, it brought out time after each plague that the Pharaoh hardened his heart. He simply would not allow God to intervene. Even when his wise men would tell him that we can't duplicate what God has done here. This is the true God. This is the hand of God. We can't do it. He still hardened his heart. He would not accept it. He would not be defeated. He would not allow his servants to leave. And finally, he lets him go, but then his heart comes back to that point that he just will not allow it. And he chases him to the Red Sea, and of course, ends up causing the Egyptians to die there at the Red Sea as the water goes down. They harden their heart. They simply cannot accept the truth. For one reason or another, they don't want to hear God, what God has to say. And often it has to do with their own desires. In Luke chapter 10, verse 29. Luke chapter 10 and verse 29. Luke 10 and verse 29. It says, "But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" We're to love our neighbor as and forgive them and love them and show comfort. Well, exactly who is that neighbor that I have to be nice to? Just the two people that live beside me, the house across the street, maybe just my neighborhood, maybe just my friends. Where do we draw the line? Because he knew in his heart, he knew that he was not doing this as he should. That he had drawn the line and saying, "Well, just my friends and family." No, that's not what God is saying. God is saying we need to be kind unto all. As much as it depends on us, live peaceably with all. Just as God desires all to be saved. We're still to love our enemies, pray for them, bless them. But here he was trying to justify himself. And that's what men do today because of their own selfish desires. Their own selfish desires. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 first, and come back to 2 Peter. You will turn to 2 Peter. 2 Timothy 4. We'll continue on this point of their own desires. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, when you read there, starting in verse 3. 2 Timothy 4, and reading there in verse 3, says, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn theirs away from the truth and be turned aside to faith. Once again, it brings out because of their own desires, because of what they want. When they read the scriptures, this simply they do not accept it. They allow it to go one ear and write out the word. It's not what they want to hear. It's not what they want to hear. So what they want to hear, they seek teachers who will teach it. And seeking those teachers, they find people who are willing to teach those things. Because there's false teachers out there. And that's the next point there in 2 Peter. If there are false teachers out there willing to deceive others, willing to turn them away from the truth, to tell you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies and denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves with destruction. And many will follow the destructive ways because of whom the way of the truth will be blasted by covetousness. They will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not stop." False teachers is a great reason. False teachers and our own desires. If we truly desire to obey God, we truly love Him, as so many say today, and as Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We will seek the truth, and we will find the truth. And that truth will set you free. You will obey His commandments. But because of one's desires, whether it's the desire to continue in sin, to continue in an adultery life, to continue in a drunken life, to continue in a lie, to continue in certain things, or to simply to okay your heart with the way someone else is living, a family member, a close friend, that you don't have to tell them they're wrong. Whatever matter it be, you can find a teacher. You can find someone to preach it to you. But it doesn't mean it's the truth. The truth has to line up with His will. We must do all in His name as He has given to us. So can you understand the word yes? Yes, you can. If you're willing to seek the truth. If you're willing to look for the truth. The question is, do you understand the word? Have you studied it? Do you know who Jesus is? That He is the Son of God. And if so, if you know that He is the Son of God, you know that He died for your sins, and you know that being baptized is the only way to wash away your sins. Because you've studied it, you You've asked questions. You've been taught these things from others. As you ask these questions, we ask, why do you delay any longer? Lord, be baptized. Wash away your sin. Or if you're here this morning, you've obeyed the gospel, you've fallen back into sin, or you just need to encourage the congregation, if there's anything that we can do for you, let me know.
Six fifteen. 6:15. 6:15.